you shall give testimony of me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A little boy was once in a big, old, beautiful Catholic church with his mother. It was a fine, sunny day, and as he walked down the aisle, the child was intrigued and charmed by the colors that played on the floor and on the pews cast by the stained glass windows. You know how children are at a certain age, they'll be always asking questions. And so, what is that? He said, pointing to the window. Why then, pointing to the image in the window, his mother responded, well, that's a saint. And as they went up the aisle, the same question, they never tire. Again, they, what's that? What's that? Seeing all these colors. But each time, Mom would just say, why, that's a saint. The boy never forgot that little lesson. A few years later, when he started catechism class around All Saints' Day, his teacher asked, does anyone know what a saint is? And you know how some children in catechism raise their hand right away without thinking. Well, this child actually knew the answer. So I thought to himself, I know that. So he raised his little hand and he said, a saint is someone the light shines through. And if you think of it, that is perfectly true. Our Lord said, you are the light of the world, so let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. And today our Lord says, to each one of you, you shall give testimony of me. My dear faithful, one of the most important duties of our Catholic faith is that of giving a good example to others. We do this by the fearless practice of our Catholic faith. All of you, by organizing yourselves and getting to church with the children this morning for Mass, have given a beautiful example, parents to their children, siblings to each other, you perhaps to your neighbors, and to others you may not even know the benefit of that. Children, you must give a good example. You must, for your younger brothers and sisters' sake, you must be quiet and do what your parents tell you without being sassy. And you must remember yourself to kneel down and say your prayers every night before you go to bed. And if anyone, I don't care who it is, puts on a bad television show or a bad movie, why, you must be brave and walk right out of the room, because you too, children, you must give testimony of Christ. Now, the wonderful thing about it is that when we do what's right before God, we're also helping others at the same time. Let me tell you the story today of a boy who converted his brother. They, both of them, died as martyrs in 3rd century France and are today saints of Holy Mother Church. Saints Donatien and Rogatien, that was their name. They're known in France as Les Enfants Nantais, the children of Nantes, because they were from that city, which is in the Loire Valley, not that far from the Atlantic Ocean. I've had the grace to visit their tomb and to pray there, because I often go to the city of Nantes to conduct confirmations. These boys grew up with pagan parents and were raised as such, as children often will be, even today. And Donatien as a boy, he was a boy, was drawn to the gladiators, the bloody fighting there in the Colosseum. That attracted him very much. But as he grew a little bit older, God's grace started to hit his heart. And he started to see how this was an awfully cruel, as well as bloody religion. It was full of superstition and even obscene and dirty things that turned him aside from it. And then his friends, how often he had occasion to note his friends played him false. And he couldn't really count on them. They were phony. At the same time, he also couldn't help but notice how the Christians in town seemed to glow with a kind of a joy, and how brave they were. He knew the stories when the persecutions came to their city. And the boy studied the faith, and he converted, and he was baptized. And when he converted, he wanted to convert others. He had no other thought than that. And first of all, he thought of his own family. Charity begins at home. And of all things, he was able to work on his older brother. I say of all things because usually older brothers are not going to listen to younger siblings. But Rogation listened to young Donation. He must have been about maybe 12 only or 13. And because he saw the good example his brother was now giving, how his life had changed, because he thought to himself, he never wanted to admit it, but he thought it, I'd like something that my brother, I'd like that in my life. He started to study the catechism. His brother taught him the faith. And in due time, he too was ready for holy baptism. But the problem was this. Back then, by custom and church law, it was only the bishop who baptized. Now, due to the persecutions and out of prudence, the bishop was in hiding and there were no baptisms on offer. So Rogation just did his best, and at around the same time, the persecution came to town with the governor, and they were both of them, the brothers, were arrested, and they spoke very well before the tribunal, and at some point, even gave a sort of a little sermon to the people who were watching their trial. And then they were condemned to death. The only thing that grieved Rogation was that he had not been able to be baptized. And each of them in their prison cell, the same cell, the night before, prayed a different prayer. This is interesting. One prayed, Rogation prayed, that when his brother gave him the kiss of peace, you know how we do that at a solemn mass, how the bishop or the priest puts his hands on the other person's shoulder in this little inclination, and we say, Pax tecum, peace be to thee, and with thy spirit. It's called the kiss of peace. He prayed that this sacramental might take the place of the sacrament, because he could not be baptized. Meanwhile, Donation, the younger one, he was praying that the faith of his brother, because he was a very strong Christian now, would take the place of baptism, and the blood that he shed the next day would stand for his confirmation, because neither could he be confirmed. And indeed, Rogation died bravely for the faith the next day, along with Donation. They were tortured on the rack, and then their necks were pierced with a lance, and finally they were beheaded. How did Rogation go to heaven? And he's a saint in heaven today. He had the baptism of blood. Martyrdom supplies for the powers of baptism. It takes away original and actual sin. The truth of this doctrine is proved by sacred scripture. Our Lord says, if any man lay down his life for me, for my sake, he shall find it. It's proved as well, of course, by tradition. We keep the feast every year of the Holy Innocents. And we say they were baptized in their blood for the baby Jesus, for whose sake they died. There are several saints in the Martyrology, the Church's Book of Saints, in the course of the year. I think of Saint Emerenciana. Her feast is in January. She was foster sister to St. Agnes and was praying at St. Agnes' tomb about a week after she died. And the pagan mob came and she was put to death and she was never baptized. But she too is a saint in heaven. Why? How does that work? The reason is this. The baptism of water has the power to wash away our sins by remaking us, by configuring us to Christ crucified, to Christ in his death, to the symbolism of water, because water brings death, and water came out of our Lord's side when he died. Through martyrdom, through the saint's blood, a soul in these circumstances is even more configured, or even more made like unto Christ in his death, because of the blood, of course. So tomorrow's saints exemplify the baptism both of blood and of desire, which are certain doctrines of the Catholic Church. How does baptism of desire work? People talk about that sometimes, that one must know what we are speaking of. It is at least an implicit desire to be baptized, which is included in the general intention to do God's will because you love him. How does baptism of desire work? It works by means of what we call contrition, sorrow for sin, for the best motive, the love of God, or perfect charity, that I love God, and I love him for his own sake. its existence too is proved by sacred scripture. Him who comes to me, I will not cast out. And our Lord says in St. Matthew's Gospel, if any man love me, my Father and I will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. Now, if the Blessed Trinity comes to your soul and dwells with you, well, that entails sanctifying grace. It's proved as well, this doctrine is by tradition. The Council of Trent solemnly affirms it. So therefore, the conclusion that we draw, the actual use of water is not intrinsically or absolutely necessary according to God's positive will. It can be supplied, if it is lacking, by means of charity or perfect contrition. St. Peter writes to us today, charity covereth a multitude of sins. You see that all that matters in religion, finally, is love. Charity, divine love, pure love of God, because our God is so good. That's all that matters. In him who comes to me, I will not cast out. So therefore, if you're grieved by a mortal sin, and you've got no way to get to confession, and you're grieved because you love God, and you don't want that sin on your soul, out of love for him, you say your act of contrition, it will be forgiven. Must you still go to confession? Of course. You have to submit it, we say, to the power of the keys, but the sin's not on your soul anymore, not if you have perfect contrition. If you love God, you see, you've never even heard of the Catholic Church, but you want to do what's right, and you because you love him, you'll carry out his will in all things. Well, that's perfect charity. Him that cometh to me, I will not cast out. And the multitude of your sins is covered. Perfect charity takes away original sin, if it is there, as well as actual sin. But you still need to be baptized to receive the sacrament, to have the character put on your soul. And baptism alone takes away all of the temporal punishment which is due to sin. This is the constant and the certain teaching of the Catholic Church. To deny it is to commit a mortal sin against the faith. Put this preaching into practice. St. Peter says that if anyone speaks, let him speak as of the words of God. In the Latin, it is quasi sermones Dei, as of the sermons of God. And sometimes you've got to give them, you've got to instruct others in the faith when the opportunity presents itself. And parents, I do remind you of the duty that binds under pain of mortal sin to be regularly throughout the years of your children's growing up through high school, including high school, instructing them in their catechism and in their Bible history, going through the first, the second, and the third catechism with a regular program of study. To neglect that is to set your children up for a fall and is to commit a serious sin. But also remember this, and particularly in the case when we come across children or we're helping the sick or we are assisting the dying, those who perhaps would never know or wouldn't be able to accept the Catholic Church because of prejudice or what we call invincible ignorance, you can help them towards a baptism of desire. And that is a wonderful work of charity. How does that work? There's a description in the writings of all things of Father Fini before he fell away from the Catholic Church and became a heretic. He actually wrote a very beautiful little description of how it's done. It's in one of his short stories called in a compilation called Fish on Friday. It used to be a very popular book. And in it, he writes a little story about a priest, I suppose that's himself, who meets a boy, a Protestant boy, on a train. And I want to conclude my sermon today by reading to you just a little bit from the ending of this story. So he asks the boy, he says, "And Our Lady is our Lord's Blessed Mother. Did you ever hear of God's Blessed Mother?" The boy says, "Well, I've heard them speak of that once or twice at home, but I don't think they have much of that in my town." In the meantime, they're getting closer to the station, and the priest thinks to himself, "My time is short." He says, "And if I could induce him to make in his own way some simple act of perfect love, the Holy Spirit might be willing to transmute it at once into baptism of desire. But I had to work quickly. You see, it's this way." And I decided on a number of swift, short sentences. God made you. He loves you. You're his little boy. Nobody owns you as much as he does, because you really don't belong to anybody but God. He worries about you all the time. He never lets you out of his thoughts. He counts the number of steps you take when you walk and the number of breaths you breathe in your sleep. Everyone who is good and kind to you, he blesses and rewards. Everyone who is mean and unkind to you, he punishes. When you do wrong and are sorry, he forgives you and forgets it. When you do good, he never forgets it. You weren't really made for this world. I wasn't. Nobody ever is. That's why we're all a little bit restless all the time and a little bit lonely. We're all waiting for our real life, which begins in heaven after we die. Heaven is where we will see God and know how beautiful and lovely he is. And then we will be happy. We will be happy forever and ever. We can't see God now, but we will see him one day. He sees us, though, and he loves us. He wouldn't have made us if he didn't love us. And he wants us to love him, and he will help us to love him if we try. You love him, don't you? Yes, the boy responded. Well, the priest goes on, do you love God more than you love anybody else? Yes, I do. Well, say you do. I do. With all your heart? Yes. Just for his own sake? Because he's so good and you're sorry if you ever offended him? Yes, I am. Well, say, Almighty God, I love you with all my heart. Almighty God, I love you with all my heart. Better than I do anybody. Better than I do anybody. I shook his small hand. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye means God be with ye. And may Almighty God be with all of you this week, regardless of where you go. This week, as we pray for Pentecost's purifying light and fire, may some of that light shine through you. That, after all, is what a saint is. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.